Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Christopher Hickey is our guest today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio. He's the Executive Director of the National Council for Accreditation of Sport Coaching. Our topic today, how to handle difficult and bully coaches. Joining us is my brother, mental game coach, Dr. Patrick Cohn.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Patrick, and hi, Christopher.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Good. Well, tell us first a little bit about the National Council for Accreditation of Sport Coaching.
I know, it's a mouthful of a title, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I tried to kind of get it.
No, it is. Yeah. Ann Casey is the affectionate nickname for it. The council was formed in 2000 by a number of leaders in both coaching and coaching education, and using the national standards of sport coaches, they created a way to evaluate and accredit coaching education programs, both at our university college-based and also other organizations, and have been doing so since 2000. Ann Casey accredited its first coaching education program, which was Special Olympics International, in 2001, and we're in the process. I think we're going to break 20 by June or July of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned the national standards. The national standards of sports coaches were originally created in the mid-90s mm-hmm. by a large group of people involved in sport at every level.
Mm-hmm.
Most recently was updated in 2006. It's published by the National Association for Sport and Physical Education, NASPE, which is headquartered in Northern Virginia.
Mm-hmm. And you started to tell me that they talk about mental game issues. So I just wanted to hear a little bit about that before we get to the coaches.
Well, yeah. The national standards, 40 of them, broken into 8 domains. I don't want to get too technical here. But psychological skills training or mental skills are dealt with in 2 places. One is helping athletes deal with the psychological implications of injury, which we all know is a challenge. And then the other is under domain number 5, teaching and communication. Standard 24 is teach and incorporate mental skills to enhance performance and reduce sport anxiety. So I think it's an important thing that, psychological skills training, mental preparation is an integral part of sport. And when I talk to a lot of accomplished coaches, people always refer to the hidden 3 successes, things that can make an athlete or a team very successful. One is sports nutrition. 2 is obviously strength and conditioning. And then 3 is the mental side of the game. So,
can you say a little more about that?
When
coaches focus on the mental side of the game, their teams are more successful?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the coaches that incorporate psychological skills training within their program know that it absolutely is. It helps the kids be more resilient against setbacks. 2, it reinforces the learning, like with visualization. And also it gives them lifelong skills such as, how to relax, relaxation, breathing, the control situation, use of cue words, developing the right routines. I mean, these are things that you can transfer to do anything later on in your life. Good coaches do recognize that it's just not X's and O's. There's a lot of other aspects of sport in which make individuals or teams reach their potential.
Very interesting. Well, that's a bit of an endorsement for what we do. That's why I wanted to hear the long version. All right, let's get on to difficult coaches. As I mentioned before, difficult coaches are what we hear a lot about from our readers, especially, you know, bully coaches. And I'm wondering if you have any advice for parents about how to deal with them.
Well, first of all, dealing with a bully coach, first of all, it makes me cringe because someone with that sort of attitude about children should not be coaching.
Now, how would you define it? Because I think people don't really know if they've got a bully on their hands or if they've got someone who's really enthusiastic on their hands.
Yeah, you know what? And I think there's probably people who walk over that line, being very enthusiastic and bullying kids into maybe doing things that they don't want to do or not age appropriate or developmental appropriate, I think is also probably one of the problems. I think a bully coach is one who's going to be using physical or verbal intimidation to motivate athletes.
Mm-hmm.
What's the classic case? Bobby Knight throwing a chair at somebody at one staff. I cannot imagine being on the receiving end of that and how that athlete must have felt.
Mm-hmm.
He must have felt about 2 inches tall. That it was completely demeaning to that athlete as a person. So I think that's the issue, is how are they communication? Because also, it's interesting. I live in the state of Massachusetts. We've had some tragic cases of bullying at the teenage level, which have now led to a state intervention and new laws and schools getting involved. And actually, I think there are 4 or 5 teenage kids that are going to trial sometime this year for what happened out in Western Massachusetts with one of the bullying cases. But no one talked. Excuse me. There were just 2 cases. Yeah, 2 kids committed suicide.
We've had that here on the West Coast too.
Yeah. So one of the district attorney of one of the cases, since there are no laws against bullying, she went and looked at, okay, what laws do I have in place? And those are a couple of these 17-year-old boys are charged with 3 to 4 different things, whether it's assault, statutory rape. There was a whole bunch of other things, but she basically went and looked and used her imagination. What can I charge these young adults with? I don't want to get off on that topic, but the interesting thing is everyone's talking about kid bullying, you know, children bullying other children. But no one's talking about adult bullies, which we all know. Anyone who's worked in the, you know, anywhere has most likely probably have encountered an adult bully. I recently worked at a place that I think had one, and the person was a fine user of verbal bullying to get, you know, that's how he dealt with his employees. And it was very interesting to watch and to listen to. And deal with. So if we have adult bullies in society, because these young bullies grow up to be adults, I don't think a lot of these habits go away, especially if they've been getting away with it, and they're bringing it into the communities in which we live and play in. So
what should the parents do about this?
Okay.
What you hear often is, and I actually saw a great example of this when my son was young. They say, oh, I don't want to mess with the coach because then my son would lose playing time. I mean,
right.
It just kind of blew my mind when these parents behaved that way.
Well, I think if someone said that, I guess you have to think about, playing time. You're talking about today, but if your child is on a team with an adult who's a bully, I don't think that child's going to be playing that sport much longer.
Right.
Unless they're just absolutely somehow incredibly resilient and able to just throw it off. They're going to like, why am I doing this?
Right.
You know, kids, I like to say, vote with their feet for the most part about activities they're interested in doing. And if they're not having fun, if they're not learning about the sport and getting a good experience about being with their friends and making new friends, they're not going to do it. They're going to be telling the parents, I'm not interested in playing, you know, sport X anymore. They may not tell them why, because, you know, that's, but they'll be voting with their feet. Well,
Patrick, why don't you jump in here? What have you seen?
Well, I would definitely agree with that. Certainly, kids, if they're not having fun, we know, Lisa, that kids drop. Most kids drop out. 70% or 75% of kids drop out by the time they're 15, and we know that it's because they're not having fun, right? And if they're being bullied and they're just having a terrible time, then certainly that's gonna lead to dropout for them. And in some situations, we find that it's impossible for them to switch teams, you know, they're not going to be playing at all. They're not going to be performing at all. So often they feel stuck. I had a parent that had come in, and they were doing some fencing in the area, and her daughter was a very good fencer, but the coach was a bully. And they said, well, it's the only game in town. And they were willing to stick with it.
Yes.
Because they didn't want to travel out of town to get coaching.
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidssportspsychology.com.